Singing, come let us all unite to sing, number 12 in the Blue Book.
Come let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God. Sin awake, let every heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love, God is love, God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love.
Welcome to this morning's worship service from Zion Mennonite Church. My name is Brenda Duick, and I will be your worship leader this morning. As we continue to gather in our separate homes and spaces, let's remember that we are still connected with one another through our faith, and we welcome each of you who have decided to join with us this morning. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost represents the birth of the early church, and it's remembered as the day the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples so many years ago. The celebration of Pentecost invites us to consider our own participation in the fellowship, worship, and mission of the church. It is a time to renew our commitment to live as an essential member of the body of Christ, using our gifts to build the church and share the love and justice of Christ with the world. I would like to highlight a few announcements in the bulletin this morning. Please take note of the announcement from the MCC Gift and Thrift Store. They are in desperate need of new volunteers to help them reopen following the COVID-19 restrictions. If you are interested in joining their volunteer team or know others in your circle who are, please contact scthrift at thrift.mcsask.ca or call 306-665-2555 for more information. As well, Please note that they are looking for some black and white artistic work that can be used on our bulletin covers. And if you would like to participate in that, please submit to the church office. Now please join me in the call to worship. Come, let us encounter anew the God who moves among us, the God who meets us in praise and song, in forgiveness and new beginnings, in scripture and sermon, in prayer and in offering, in Christian community and in going forth in love. We gather together to worship God. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we come seeking your presence in worship. Through our songs of praise, we seek you. By our words of prayer, we reach out to you. Grant that we may hear your voice and not merely echoes of our own. Fill us with your Spirit. Bless us by your grace. Surround us with your love, now and always. Amen. As we prepare for our offering, please note that your offerings may be dropped off anytime. For e-transfer, the address is zion.pay@sastel.net. Let's pray. Good and giving God, we thank you for the privilege not only of receiving your gifts, but also for the privilege of being your gifts to each other and to the world. Receive our offering, we pray. Through it and through us, bless your world. Amen.
Now let us bow our heads and recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Consuming, and let thy glory.
me round, thou art my past illuming.
I'm Louise Weens, and I'm reading the Bible verse from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Then Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. Oh, how the Lord has blessed me. Now I have an answer to my enemies, as I delight in your deliverance. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. The Lord is a God who knows your deeds, and he will judge you for what you have done. Those who are mighty no more. Those who were weak are now strong. Those who were well fed are now starving, and those who were starving are now full. The barren woman now has 7 children, but the woman with many children will have no more. The Lord brings both death and life. He brings some down to the grave, but raises others up. The Lord makes one poor and another rich. He brings one down and lifts another up. He lifts the poor from the dust, yes, from a pile of ashes. He treats them like princes, placing them in seats of honor. For all the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order. He will protect his godly ones, but the wicked will perish in darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. Those who fight against the Lord will be broken. He thunders against them from heaven. The Lord judges throughout the earth. He gives mighty strength to his king. He increases the might of his anointed one."
Good morning. I'm Marvin Weens, and I'll be reading from Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard from speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Phalmea, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, in signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
I will be reading Psalm 104, verses 24 to 35, using the NIV version. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed, to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
This is Rowan. I'll be reading Psalms 113 from the Message. Hallelujah! You who serve God, praise God. Just to speak his name is praise. Just to remember God is a blessing, now and tomorrow and always. From east to west, from dawn to dusk, keep lifting all your prayers to God. God is higher than anything and anyone, outshining everything you can see in the skies. Who can compare with God, our God, so majestically enthroned, surveying his magnificent heavens and earth? He picks up the poor from out of the dirt, rescues the forgotten who've been thrown out with the trash, seats them among the honored guests, a place of honor among the brightest and best. He gives childless couples a family, gives them joy as parents of children. Hallelujah.
Greeting from Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. From the New Living Translation. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality.
My name is Peggy Kettler, and I will be reading the scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from John 20, 37 to 39, and then John 20, 19 to 23. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive for the holy. Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Then the same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
Welcome to our Sunday morning service. Happy Pentecost. Today is finally the day that the disciples, anyway, were waiting for. after Jesus had ascended on Ascension Day. 8 days more they waited, wondering what's to come. And then suddenly it came. And there was not a doubt, there was no question in anyone's mind that something had happened. And that's what we're here to celebrate today. And not only to celebrate, but to gain a broader understanding of what that means, what that event implies for our lives as well. So I've entitled this message, "It's Pouring Out." And you can think of that in two different ways. It's pouring out because God said he would pour out his spirit on all humankind. Or I could say to you, it's pouring out and you know that it is raining cats and dogs outside and you might not want to go outside. So just a little play on words, and maybe think about that as we work through this morning's message. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the story of Pentecost, you know that pouring or rain, the rain analogy, is not at all what happened. Although some might say the wind was a precursor to the coming storm, and that's what has been happening for us this week. You know, much, much, much wind, and then finally, kaboom, and a little bit of lightning, and then some serious rain. And we're always joyful, because rain is a very good thing. So let's think about both fire and rain when we're thinking about the Spirit. But first of all, looking at the Acts 2 story. The scriptures have been read, and you might wonder, why on earth were there so many scripture passages? And I didn't even list all of them. I didn't ask for all of them to be read. So many scriptures, and still they do not entirely capture the activity and the implications and everything, the description even, about the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Spirit. But this is the day when the coming was most marked. And that story is where the apostles are gathered together in a room, and suddenly there was a huge rushing, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, just the sound, and then fire, which divided into each person got a single tongue of fire on their heads, but it didn't burn them. And this was a sign of the Holy Spirit's presence. And then to add to it, they went out, and as Marvin read, there were so many people from so many different countries and nationalities and obviously languages, and everyone heard what they needed to hear in their own language. It was truly astonishing. And naturally, when something odd happens, we say they must be drunk. And I'm sure nobody is drunk here this morning or wherever you are. But the Pentecost gets us scratching our heads, as it did then, and we see this big, huge event, loud. And well, for me, I just thought of, you know, political convention or rallies or something, and they're playing loud music and everybody is rah, rah, rah. And this just doesn't feel very comfortable to a lot of us. But we know we're supposed to approve of it because, hey, this is the Holy Spirit we're talking about. What are we supposed to do with this? So sometimes we just pay lip service and we say, okay, it's a wonderful thing of the Pentecost, but I don't think I want that. I don't want that fire or that wind or that, you know, the language that takes over or whatever, whatever it is. But let's just look at this and use some other scriptures to understand what it was that God was doing. Because from the time of Joel That's the quotation in Acts that is used here in chapter 2. I believe it's verse 17. God is pouring out his Spirit on all humankind. This was just the demonstration that something new was occurring. It's not the expectation. It's not as if every time someone becomes a believer or recognizes Jesus Christ as their Lord, then this is supposed to happen for them. It's not that at all. This was a one-time thing. Think about the other demonstrations. Most recently, pops into my mind at least, is the demonstrations in Hong Kong. All of those people out in the streets demonstrating to the government. No, they're not demonstrating that they want to be in the street every day. No, it's a sign, it's a communication. Or other kinds of demonstrations we have are weddings. And most of us realize the wedding or the marriage is not simply and solely on that day, that one event, that occasion. It's just the demonstration of what is occurring, what is ongoing, as is our baptism. When we come and are baptized, giving voice, giving testimony to the faith, to the work that's being done inside of us, that's not the end of it. It is simply the demonstration of what is going on, what continues to happen within each of us as the Holy Spirit is continuously at work. So now that we have put this Pentecost event in a different kind of perspective, let's also realize that it wasn't the beginning of the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit has been around, I was going to say, since forever. That doesn't make much sense. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, without beginning and without end. So just as this Pentecost, this arrival, was not the beginning of the Holy Spirit, it also was not the end of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there with God in the beginning of creation, hovering over the face of the deep. Before the world was created, the Spirit was there. And throughout the Old Testament, many examples of the actions of the Spirit. A few of them are found in our scripture passages. There's an interesting one in Numbers, referring to Moses and then the division of the Spirit among 70 elders. You should really read that. And it kind of brings out something that happens to many of us. As soon as we recognize some kind of giftedness or some work of the Spirit within our lives, then others become jealous of us, or we become jealous of others, or protective of that special capacity. And that's what happened there. When someone outside of this particular gathering was out prophesying, then immediately some others came and said to Moses, "Oh, these two are out there prophesying. They shouldn't be doing that." Let's think to ourselves as well. How often don't we have that kind of inner attitude when we hear about others using gifts given to them by God and demonstrating in a way that is outside of our own particular practice or habit or comfort or area? That is a very important thing to keep in mind, that these are gifts of the Spirit. We shouldn't be jealous about them or jealous of others who have other gifts that possibly we don't have. But let's get back to this point, that it wasn't the beginning. We've seen the presence of the Spirit throughout the Old Testament, but it also was not the end. And we heard this a couple of weeks ago when Jesus was encouraging his disciples and he appeared to them after resurrection. And he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the reception of the Holy Spirit includes the sending I've been sent by the Father, I also send you. We have no choice in the matter. The Holy Spirit's presence in our lives means that we are sent. We can't choose not to be sent. When I phone people or I text people or ask, hey, will you do this or that? And some will say, no, I don't think I want to do that. No, that's not something that I am good at. How about so-and-so? And they point a finger and they want me to phone somebody else to do this thing that I've asked them to do. There's no escaping. The Spirit within us means we are sent. But it also means, and if we look at the way that the Holy Spirit moved in Pentecost, this means that it can't be completely pinned down. And that actually helps me to breathe more easily, because it's not like we are becoming clones of each other. As soon as we become believers and we all have one and the same Spirit, isn't that what 1 Corinthians tells us? The same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit, repeated again and again and again. But the wonderful and the biggest relief for me is that there is such huge diversity. The Spirit exemplifies itself in so many different ways that you can hardly say, oh, this is the Spirit. This is what the Spirit looks like. This is what the Spirit does. Number one, number two, number three. You know, we always want to describe it and encapsulate it so that it doesn't become so difficult to identify. But the Spirit is just so incredibly diverse. And if you look at Psalm 104 again, that was read for us, and read it in light of the diversity of the Holy Spirit, you'll be amazed. Because that psalm is about nature. And it says, O Lord, how many are thy works? In wisdom thou hast made them all. And then the psalmist goes on to start to list all of the works of God in nature. And you know, if I look outside, I don't have to look very far. And I see just amazing diversity. How many trees there are, different kinds of trees growing in different ways. And that's just the most obvious thing. The same is true with the Spirit's work in our lives. So incredibly diverse. We cannot begin to say or to think, why is that person doing that? Or why are they not doing this and this and this? Let's say, for example, I've experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in my life in a certain way. I can't say everybody needs to experience the Holy Spirit in that way. And I can't say I have to experience the Holy Spirit in this way because so-and-so has it. I can't judge another person's spirituality by my own experience of the Holy Spirit. That is not right. There is such wide diversity and uniqueness. We simply have to allow the Holy Spirit to be poured out into our lives. The picture I have in my head is simply of a funnel. There is so much that needs to be poured in, but we can't take it all in. There's so much out there. There's so much Holy Spirit. We can't just say it is just this one particular thing. We all have different gifts, different possibilities, different examples of the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives. The one thing that we can say, however, is that the presence of the Holy Spirit is always marked by abiding love. abiding love. And I purposefully use that word, abiding. And I'd like you to turn to 1 John and read through it. I look specifically at chapter 3, verse 24, chapter 4, verse 13, and chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. But the whole of that letter is John's way of reminding us that this presence of the Holy Spirit is an intimate connection and relationship to each one of us. Jesus said, I'm going, but I won't leave you alone. You're not an orphan. You have not been abandoned. I will be with you, and you know that I'm with you through the Holy Spirit that is abiding with you. Hang on to that word, abiding. It's ongoing. It's hour by hour, minute by minute. God's Holy Spirit drawing close to us, doing the Holy Spirit's work. We don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing. We only see the evidence of the Holy Spirit's action. And we call that the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to look that up in Galatians chapter 5, there's lots of fruit of the Spirit. And when we see examples of the fruit of the Spirit, we needn't say to ourselves, my, oh my, what a wonderful character I have got. I must be a very kind, gentle, loving, blah, blah, blah kind of person because I am displaying all these wonderful qualities. No, all we can say is, what a wonderful spirit we have within us that produces these things within us. If I look outside within the last 2 weeks, I would say there is always somebody about, if they're not on our yard, one of our neighbors, and they're busy digging and plucking and trimming and oh, on and on and on. The work is endless. And none of us can say here at Zion, oh, we must be a wonderfully great church because look at the beautiful landscape, the beautiful yard and hedges and everything else that we have here. No, this is the result of the work of certain individuals. In the same way, I can't say I have such a wonderful character. Look at me. I have to say, wow, look at the work of the Holy Spirit in my life that is producing these kinds of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And that comes from the abiding love of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, go ahead and pursue spiritual gifts, but the reason you're pursuing them has got to be for love. Not love of yourself, but love of the community, love of the body of Christ. You want to build others up. So then you pursue the spiritual gifts so that you can help others. We don't desire the Spirit because we want gifts. I've got a sister who wants gifts. She loves when her birthday comes around because she thinks everybody needs to buy her gifts. That's just who she is. Sometimes she gets them, sometimes she doesn't. Like that old Levi's jeans commercial. You don't always get what you want. And it's true with the Holy Spirit as well. We can't choose the gifts that we want. We can't choose the degree. The Spirit chooses and gives to all those gifts. But again, I want to stress that it is the result of the abiding, ongoing connection of the Holy Spirit within our lives, day by day, like that small end of the funnel. The Holy Spirit is far too big for us to describe, to hold. All we can do is receive that Holy Spirit. And may that indeed be our character. Being able to open ourselves up enough, become porous enough to be able to receive what is poured out into our lives so that it will seep in, establish those roots, and produce the fruit of the Spirit for the good of others. Please turn with me to Romans 15, verse 13 for the benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Spirit of God, go with us down from thy holy hill. Walk with us through the storm and the calm. Spirit of God, go thou with us still. Touch thou our hands to aright. Guide us forever, show us thy way. Transform our darkness into thy light. Spirit of God, lead thou us
today. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.